I sighed and walked around the desk to stand over the cowering lawyer. Hell, if I'd have known that someone had... I shook my head. She wasn't really listening very hard to me, and she'd started crying. It was one of about 1,000 possible reactions when someone's free will has been directly abrogated by some kind of psychic interdiction. I just created a situation in which every part of her logical, rational mind had been completely in favor of telling me who had hired her. Her emotions had been lined up right behind her reasoned thoughts, too. Only, I was betting that someone had gotten into her head. Someone had left something inside her that refused to let Ms. Derrick speak about her employer. Hell, she might not even have a conscious memory of who hired her, despite the fact that she wouldn't just hire some detective to spy on somebody for no reason. Everyone always thinks that such obvious logical inconsistencies wouldn't hold up, that the mind would somehow tear free of the bonds placed upon it using those flaws. But the fact is that the human mind isn't a terribly logical or consistent place. Most people, given the choice to face a hideous or terrifying truth, or to conveniently avoid it, choose the convenience and peace of normality. That doesn't make them strong or weak people, or good or bad people. It just makes them people. It's our nature. There's plenty to distract us from the nastier truths of our lives if we want to avoid them. Evelyn Derrick, I said in a firm, authoritative voice, look at me. She flinched closer to the wall, shaking her head. I knelt in front of her, then I reached out to touch her chin and gently lifted her face to mine. Evelyn Derrick, I said in a gentler voice, look at me. The woman lifted her dark green eyes to mine, and I held her gaze for the space of a long breath before the soul gaze began. If the eyes are the windows to the soul, then wizards are the soul's voyeurs. When a wizard looks into another person's eyes, we get to see something of that person, a vision of the very core of their being. We each go through the experience a little differently, but it amounts to the same thing. A look into another person's eyes gives you an insight into the most vital portions of their character. Evelyn Derrick's deep green eyes almost seemed to expand around me, and then I found myself staring at a room that was, if anything, almost identical to the woman's office. The furniture was beautiful and minimalistic. Ms. Derrick, it seemed, was not the kind of person to overly burden her soul with the care and mementos most people collect over the course of a lifetime. She had devoted her life to her mind, to the order and discipline of her thoughts, and she had never left herself much room for personal entanglements. But as I stared at the room, I saw Ms. Derrick herself. I would have expected her in her business clothing, or perhaps in student's attire. Instead, she was wearing... well, she was wearing very expensive, very minimalistic black lingerie. Stockings, garters, panties, and bra, all black. She wore them, very well. She was kneeling on the floor, her knees apart, her hands held behind the small of her back. She faced me with her lips parted, her breath coming in quickened pants. I was able to change my viewpoint slightly, as if walking around her, and those green eyes followed me, pupils wide with desire, her hips shifting in little yearning rolls with every tiny correction of her balance. Her wrists were bound behind her back with a long, slender ribbon of white silk. I caught a motion in the corner of my eye, and I snapped my gaze up to see a slender, feminine form vanish into the corridors of Evelyn Derrick's memory, showing me nothing more than a flash of pale skin and a gleam of silver eyes. Son of a bitch. Someone had bound up Ms. Derrick's thoughts, all right, and woven those restraints together with her natural sexual desire to give them permanence and strength. The method and the glimpses I'd seen of the perpetrator, flashes of memory that had managed to remain in her thoughts, perhaps, gave strong indicators as to who was responsible. A vampire of the White Court. And then there was a wrenching sensation, and I was kneeling over Evelyn Derrick. Her eyes were wide, her expression a mixture of terror and awe as she stared up at me. Oh, yeah. That was the thing about a soul gaze. Whoever you look at gets a look back at you. They get to see you in just as much detail as you see them. I'd never had anyone soul gaze me who didn't seem disconcerted by the experience. Evelyn Derrick stared at me and whispered, "Who are you?" I said, "Harry Dresden." She blinked slowly and said, her voice dazed, "She ran from you." Tears started forming in her eyes. "What is happening to me?" Magic that invades the thoughts of another human being is just about as black as it gets, a direct violation of the laws of magic that the wardens uphold. But there are gray areas, like in any set of laws, and there are accepted customs as to what was or was not allowed in practice. There wasn't much I could do for Evelyn. It would take a hand lighter and more skilled than mine to undo the harm that had been done to her mind, if it could be undone at all. But there was one thing I could do for her, a bit of gray magic that even the White Council acknowledged as an aid and a mercy, especially for those who had suffered the kind of psychic trauma Evelyn had. I called up my will as gently as I could and reached out with my right hand. I passed my fingertips gently over her eyes, causing her to close them. And as I passed my palm from her forehead down to her chin, I released that will with as much care as I possibly could, murmuring, "Dorme dormius, Evelyn. Dorme dormius." She let out a little whimpering sound of relief, and her body sagged to the floor in sudden and complete relaxation. She breathed in deeply once, exhaled, and then passed into simple and dreamless slumber. I made her as comfortable as I could. With luck, when she woke, she would pass most of our confrontation off as a bad dream. Then I turned and left the law office behind me, quiet anger growing inside me with every step. I went by the security guard at the door as the anger started nudging over into fury. I slapped the receipt down on his desk, and with a gesture and a muttered word, caused my staff to leap from where it had been leaned against the wall and into my hand. The guard fell out of his chair, and I left without looking back. The White Court was involved. They were trying to get Morgan killed, and me with him. And what's more, they were preying on people in my town, ripping into their psyches and inflicting harm that could blossom into madness given the right circumstances. There was a broad difference between their usual predation and what had been done to Evelyn Derrick. Someone was going to answer for it.